Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a compulsive overeater. Today's Friday, April 18th, 2025. Today we're reading from the big book, Working with Others. Page 91, that third paragraph, starting with, see your man alone if possible, ending with, get him to tell some of this. And we're just sharing on that one paragraph. All right, today's readers, for the steps, we have Tenzin P. For the traditions, Vanessa G. Reading the text is Katie G. Page 164 is Judith S.P. Our backup readers, Nancy R. Newcomer greeters, Tony B. Second hour host is Jeannie B. Announcements, Kathy S. is going to take care of them. Reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, April 17, 2025. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,354. That's 22354. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,355. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. You think I'd have this down by now, right? OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry some message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now I've asked Tenzin P. to share the 12 steps.
Okay, can you hear me, Tenzin P.?
Yep, gotcha.
Okay, good morning, Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the 12 steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. And now Vanessa G. will take care of the traditions for us today.
Thank you. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book here in Chapter 7, Work with Others. We are on page 91, that third paragraph, starting with see your man alone if possible, ending with get him to tell some of his. I'm sorry. And Katie G is going to take care of that for us. She's going to read, start us off.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. So I literally numbered when I was studying this with recovered sponsors the steps that I'm supposed to take. So number one, engage in general conversation. So I'm an intensity junkie, and for a long time when I would call newcomers or talk with people in relapse, my first thing was to dive into my disease. And here it's telling me to engage in general conversation, and I find that to be so helpful to talk about. You know, I live outside of Boston. I'm a stay-at-home mom. What do you do for work? I'm married, things like that, to kind of create a relationship. And then turn the talk to some of my phase of my eating. A lot of this, I think, is important for me to listen. And it talks about this is going to help me determine where we're going in terms of the step work. I mean, obviously, we're going to step one, but it can show me where they are at. I do have an arsenal of experience to talk about myself, and I'm not here to lecture or moralize, as it says, but I am here to talk about how I used to chew $400 worth of gum a month, how a trauma surgeon told me when I punctured a lung, before he put the chest cavity into my chest, he told me that his daughter was really anorexic and he hoped I was getting help. And I thought that I was a normal weight. I talk about my addiction to diet soda, the scale, exercise bulimia. And I only demonstrate what's going on for me. I don't point out what's going on for them. And I listen. And that's super important. I am an intensity junkie. I do make heavy going of life, as the book tells me on page 52. I don't have a lot of funny stories. I'm sure people do have funny stories of their escapades. If you know me, working on laughing is a pretty big deal for me. So I can't think of any funny stories off the top of my head. I have a lot of desperation. And that's kind of the point of this, right? Like, as was pointed out yesterday, I'm not here to talk about what I did to get recovered. I'm really here to create that magic Me Too. So when people did that for me, when recovered women did that for me, I thought like them, I felt like them, I did what they did. And as a result, I wanted what they had. And by the time we were done talking, I was willing to do anything. And that is the point of this, is to get me willing to go to any lengths for my recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Katie. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And you know the deal. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. And if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to have a chance to share. I just need just one at a time, first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling in from.
Melissa.
Nancy T. Tricia D. Georgia.
All right. This is what I got. I got Melissa C. I think Nancy C.
Trisha D. Georgia.
Yeah, Trisha.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Kelly
A. M.
North Carolina.
A and M.
Elena C.
Elena. Elena C. Okay. Who else? Come on.
Bessie O.
Bessie O. All right, we got still got space. Come on. Who else? We could take a couple more.
Kelly G.
All right, Kelly. Anyone else? All right, let's go with that. We got Melissa C, Nancy C, Trisha D, Ann M, Elena C, Bessie O, and Kelly G. Go ahead, Melissa. You're up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. It's Melissa C, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Thanks so much for your service, and thanks, Katie, for getting it started. I like the general conversation parts in the beginning. And I, in my early sponsoring days, or my, you know, when people would call and say, you know, can you be, you know, I need a sponsor. Or I would see someone at a would come at them like, I'm going to be your, you know, like, I'm going to be your sponsor and here's what you're going to do. I would come right away with what to do. And this doesn't really talk about that at all. This is like the get to know a person, because we're talking about people. These are people. They're not my projects. And so it's really just that general conversation. And, you know, today in the day of Zoom, you know, with technology, a lot of what we do really is, you know, long distance. And I always like to get on a Zoom with someone. I'll give them a Zoom, you know, login, and we can come on and talk together if I'm able to, and just engage in general conversation if that's the way that, you know, that we're making this first, this kind of approach. And it's, yeah, it's like, you know, what do you do for a living? How old are you? You know, you just sort of get a sense of who the person is so that you can see how, you know, if you are able to help them with something, with this problem. And, you know, the idea about how to approach people, whether you're going to take the serious angle of your disease, talk about the serious, you know, issues that came up, or whether you're going to be lighthearted and funny, is really all about us taking the temperature of the person. And I think oftentimes humor, and I love to laugh. I mean, we laugh in this house, my house, we laugh a lot, even through tragedies. That's just sort of our way. And that's, for a lot of people, is a way to sort of get them to get down their guard. And so I have stories that I can tell with a funny angle. You know, when I tell people how, you know, I used to, like, put all my trust and reliance, you know, never in God, but on cabbage soup, which I never saw work for one single person, but I would throw everything I had into it. And I can tell that story in a way that is lighthearted and humorous. Or I can talk about, like, you know, binging until my mouth bled and that panicky feeling like I was dying and unable to do anything about it. And the whole idea is really to get the other person to open up to me so that when the question is asked, when they ask the question, I can tell them precisely what I did and what God did for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Nancy C., followed by Tricia D.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And boy, what a great lead, what a great paragraph, and really grateful for this meeting. The language of the heart, right? I'm thinking, for some reason, in most of the meetings I'm going to lately, we're in this area of the book where we're talking about fellowship and speaking with one another. And I'm remembering my own, how tender it was, the first meeting that I went to. Well, first, nobody showed up, so I thought I was off scot-free and tried to get out the door, and somebody met me at the door, and we had a nice conversation. But somebody just sharing that they did things that I so secretly did and didn't think there was anybody else in the world that did that, that opens a door. And I think that opens a door for everyone who comes into their first meeting of OA and hears, what did Katie call it, the magic of Me Too, that I'm not alone anymore. And being able to explain to people things that I did and them saying the magic of Me Too, yes, I did, and have them be funny or serious or just feel like they're not alone anymore. That's where the jewel is, to be able to say, yes, I'm one of you, or have somebody say to me, I need help. I think I'm just like you. You know, there's a line in the book that says, you know, a man with this book in his hand can go anywhere and be of value to anyone. And that's true, because we've learned how to share the language of the heart, to say, you don't have to be alone anymore. God didn't want us to be alone. This is a fellowship I crave. And it starts with that first conversation. That's so important, of just sharing my own experience, strength, and hope, so the other person can do that as well. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Tricia D., followed by Ann M.
Good morning. This is Tricia D. from outside Athens, Georgia, and I am one day at a time, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This paragraph is just so, I love the shares because everything is just so spelled out so nicely in this paragraph of just how to approach someone or when someone's talking to you about needing to get a sponsor or more information. But like that first sentence there, just start with general conversation, engaging in conversation with them. I just like getting to know them, as everyone has already shared, where they live, where you live, tell me something about you. And it's just kind of just breaking the ice and letting know, just giving that tone of your friendliness and your sincerity of wanting to be present and hear their story. And then, of course, telling you exactly, it says next, to tell your story so they can know that you relate to what they're trying to tell you or why they're searching out a reason to come and talk to you. For me, my story is just like, gosh, I've been so addicted to sugar and flour all my life, and so much that when I got to be, in my 60s, I ended up having to have a liver transplant because I was diagnosed with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And I did not know that sugar was destroying my body all those years. And how just I finally, during COVID, the year 2020, I was so desperate because after my transplant, a year later, I got back into the sugar. So there was no more back door for me. And then I heard vision, and I heard them speak my language, and I heard my story. And that made me all the more comfortable about calling and trying to find someone who could help me and eventually getting a sponsor. But when I'm talking to people, I'm listening between the lines going, can I help them? And is this the right fit for them? But also, I love the next section where it says, after telling my story, is letting them talk. If he wants to share their struggle, to get a better sense of where they are and how to proceed, So this is so important, is because, again, I want to know, can I help them? And my part is just to share my enthusiasm of working with them. Somebody who has similar experiences with them, that they don't need to isolate anymore. They don't need to do this alone, and that together we can work and they have support. It says, say nothing at the moment of how it was accomplished. And that's something I have to really watch, is don't jump in too quickly. But I realize that I stress to them that, it is a journey of action, but we work together and they're not alone. So thank you for letting me share. I love this vision. I love this paragraph, and it just helps me so much in direction. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Tricia. So before NM jumps up here, let me let you know where we're at. We are working with others, chapter 7, page 91, third paragraph, see your man alone if possible, down through, get him to tell some of his. And also, a little birdie told me that Clary was trying to jump on here. So, Claire, we're going to put you at the end of this group, okay? All right. Next up is Ann.
Good morning, all. Grateful to be here. Ann from Northwestern North Carolina. And grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and food addict. And super lead in on this story. I heard that and immediately thought of a live meeting that I attend. This particular, when I say live, I mean actual in person that I drive to. So where I am located in Western North Carolina, to get to an in-person meeting is a minimum drive for me of about 50 minutes. And my sponsor pointed out that the big book says we'll go to any lengths. but also that sometimes it's important to go to in-person meetings as well as the Zoom and the phone call meetings. And I mention that only because recently these meetings have been myself and one other person with significant history in program and pretty good recovery. And at those meetings recently, we had on two different occasions, brand new people show up. And of course, that's the whole purpose of a meeting, is to be there for the newcomer, to be ready when somebody new shows up. And isn't it wonderful that a paragraph like this exists to tell us exactly what to do in that case? And so when Katie shared, I immediately thought of both of those circumstances and how we did our best to put each of those two newcomers, again, these were separate situations, at ease, and talk in general conversation, getting to know them, and letting them get to know us a little bit. And then in each case, we used chapter one in the OA 12 and 12 to do some reading and sharing as a foundation, sharing and sharing our story, telling a little bit about what it was like. And by sharing our stories and seeing how each of those people just kind of melted a little bit, both of them being nervous about, in the first place, coming to a meeting, both of them being nervous about sharing, but also melting into saying, yes, me too. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me be here.
All right, thank you, Ann. Next up is Elena C., followed by Bessie O.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Russ. Thank you so much for your service to us. And thanks for everyone's share. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. And what I hear here in this paragraph, how important it is to establish a connection. So the ability to tune into someone's energy and, you know, into someone's soul. And my opening up my soul and my heart towards the other person, it's very important, more important than any, like, the most sophisticated style of sponsorship. So, and, you know, for me, it's just simply being myself, really, like, just showing up with my Elena personality and allowing myself to be seen by another person, like, into me see. And when I talk about how dreadful it was for me when I was into the actively into the disease of compulsive overeating. It was, and you know, focusing on the pain and my powerlessness over it. I thought I was powerful, and also, you know, focusing on how powerful I thought I was by just going to diets and I can fix it, right? And then also I talk about how alone I was in my disease, and people so much identify with that. Majority of people would like to know how I sponsor, and I can say, I'll go into it. And in a minute, I just want to share something from me so that I can see if you can identify with it. And then the general conversation is also important, isn't it? And I need to remember that. Like, how are you today, you know, and where do you live, and what's the weather like? And and then just go into the deep stuff of me. And they say that at this time, don't dwell on how it was accomplished. Yes, yes, people do want to know what's my style of sponsorship. So I cannot just say, well, I'm not going to talk about it. But and then I can go into that, and I can end. I can end with, again, general conversation, and I can end with how one of the most profound experiences for me, and which I have to accomplish every day, when I would like to stay that way for the rest of my life, my amazing connection with my higher power. And, you know, one of my sponsors told me a while ago that when we listen to the other person, we connect with their higher power. And that's important, because it's a spiritual connection that can be established right away. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena. Next up is Bessie O, followed by Kelly G.
Good morning. This is Bessie O, a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thank you, Russ, for your service this morning. I just am loving studying this paragraph with you all this morning and really studying this whole chapter. I think that, like, a couple of thoughts that are, and, you know, my experience that's coming to mind is, you know, first of all, the way we learn to do this is by, the way I've learned to do this, or am learning, is by studying, you know, being guided by this book, which is the instruction manual, and actually doing it, you know, because I, as I'm reading it, you know, I'm actually cringing, you know, thinking about how I've gone astray, and that's where, like, just like so many parts of this program, it's like, you know, by reviewing, you know, and refining, that's how I learned to be more effective at sharing this message. And I just love that the passage that I'm really near, appreciating this morning is, if he wishes to talk, let him do so. And, you know, before that, it says, tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak about himself. So, you know, the goal is to open up a safe place for someone to talk about this, like, really, like, for me, it was a shameful problem. And I go to a local meeting, and sometimes, you know, there's just this big inflow of people, and, you know, some people aren't actually interested in, you know, they were told about the program by a therapist or in another program, and, you know, coming in with very much of an attitude like, yeah, I just kind of want to check this out, not in this place of desperation. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, the point is reaching out and letting, like, for me, my goal is letting this person know that that this is a program that if you are in the food and you can't stop eating and there's unmanageability, this is a program where you don't have to be like that anymore. You don't have to feel like that anymore. And how I go, you know, I was thinking, it says, you know, don't moralize or lecture or don't dwell too much on how this was accomplished. Because when I just think about myself, when I came in, I definitely recognized that like food had me. I couldn't stop eating. I couldn't get out of the vicious cycle I was in. And, you know, my life was unmanageable. But if someone had said, yeah, you're going to work on your spiritual defects, and I didn't think I had a spiritual problem. You know, that's the stuff that gets uncovered. I thought I had spirituality completely figured out. So I have to remember that, because it's just so tempting to jump into all of the beautiful, you know, spiritual, you know, because it is a spiritual program. But don't dwell on that. Well, it went by fast. Thanks, Russ. I'll pass.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Next up is Kelly G, followed by Clary.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everybody. Kelly G, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. I love all the shares and an amazing lead I am such an intense person too. And I kind of, when I'm talking with someone, I always love to cut to the chase. And I realize that that's not really socially appropriate sometimes. And although this work is intimate and intense, the getting to know you process is really important. And when somebody does ask me or hear something I say and then text me, can you sponsor me? I never say yes immediately. Like it does involve a conversation. It does involve a getting to know you. I know that, you know, there's that saying, Minnie Mouse can sponsor you if you're ready and willing. And for me, that's not my experience. I really do need to connect with somebody on a level where it's just, I know it's a flow. It's natural. Like that is important to me to let my guard down. And, you know, I used to kind of only want to go to meetings where it was a speaker meeting because I was so attracted to like those horror stories, like the nitty gritty stories where it's like eating out of a garbage can, getting arrested, steal, like, and you know what? It's like, I have that in my story too. One of my first accidents that I had, not first meaning there's a million, but like when I was in my teens was I was pulling into a gas station and I was so drunk on the food and I hit one of those poles near the pumps. And then as we're waiting for the police to come, I'm in the convenience shop buying all this junk. So anyway, I like the nitty gritty stories because it makes me feel like I belong. It makes me feel like, you know what? Wow, these people get it. You know, they say in the big book to carry the message of depth and weight. That's what I want. That's what I have. And before I dive into doing step work with a sponsee when we're meeting regularly, I always say, is there anything you want to talk about before we dive in? Because I know for me, like I can't be robotic. I'm not a one size fits all kind of girl. I don't want the cookie cutter, you know, just the curriculum being the same for every person. I was given that when I was working with my sponsor. Is there anything on your mind, anything pressing before we dive in? And I loved that because if there was, I needed to talk about it before I could focus on this material. So anyway, and then also with sponsoring, before I did start sponsoring, I was always like, I don't know if I'm qualified. Like, I don't know. Like, what do I do? And I was always reminded, like, Kelly, all you do is share your experience, strength, and hope. Like, are you eating today? Are you compulsively overeating? And it was like, well, no. Okay, great. So share how you did that. Like, that's all that was needed was just my own experience. And then that, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kel. Appreciate it. Next up is Clary, and then we're going to take another list. Star one, clear. Can't hear you. All right, let's do this. Let me get the announcements, and we'll put Claire at the top of the next group. So before we jump into where we're at, and letting you know the halftime here. So, you know, in November we got the 2025 Power of the Big Book Weekend. It's on November 7th through the 9th. You got 203 days, and it's in Newark, New Jersey, at the New York Liberty International Hotel. All the specifics for our convention, which is, it's always great, is on our webpage, visionforyou.info. So AVISION, the numeral 4, YOU.info. And you'll see it right on our landing page here. And it's click more info and gives you all the specifics, itinerary, what's going on, what the meals are like and how to register for our convention, and also the hotel rooms that we've got blocked off. it's always a great weekend just to be with everybody and just share our recovery. So don't forget to do that. It's going to be packed. And so let me let you know where we are before we start going on. We are in Working with Others, Chapter 7, page 91, the third paragraph, and reading, "See, you're made alone if possible," and ending with, "Get him to tell some of his." So if you haven't shared in the past 2 days, please step back and allow others to share. Who would like to share on this?
Laura L.
Riska R.
Karina. Riska R. And who was that?
Riska
R. Rick J. Who else?
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie. Okay.
Victoria L.
Victoria, I got you. Okay, 1 second. Chris G, you said? Chris G.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's going to be, that might be it. That's going to be close. But we have Claire up top, so Claire is going to start us off.
Okay, right. Can you hear me now, Russ?
Gotcha, Claire. Yep.
Ah, perfect. Brilliant. Sorry, I was unmuted. It said I was unmuted, but it wasn't. You clearly couldn't hear me. So my name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in Cornwall in the UK. And thank you so much to everybody who shared and done service. It's a really good paragraph to concentrate on. And I guess for me, I am, you know, this like so it's the sort of Starbucks chuck. And quite often I'm having this conversation with people, not always in any way with a view to sponsoring people. This is just sort of a call that I might make to a newcomer or a meeting I might have. The one that's springing to mind is a colleague who's a friend of a friend who somebody put me in touch with because she was off work with anorexia and bulimia, and somebody knew I was in recovery, and so we met for a coffee. And you know, so very much, you know, sort of a gradual chat. And what my experience often is that, and I so relate to this because it's exactly how I came in, is people are a little bit, not spiky, but just a little bit sort of almost defensive and possibly minimizing what they do, how big their problem is. And certainly I was the queen of minimizing when I came in. You know, it's no big deal. I just do this. I just do that. And so I think my own stories, you know, gradually sort of introducing some of my own stories. And I mean, I'm quite a low bottom bulimic. Certainly with bulimia, I've got some stories. I've got some quite horrendous things that I used to do around food, which I now know, having been an OA for a while, that, you know, other people have done that. But at the time, I certainly didn't think anybody was doing things like that. I thought I was just like the lowest of the low, and it was big secrets. So I can gradually bring those stories in. And like someone else has said, just really take the temperature, is where is this person at? And some of my stuff is funny. I mean, it's tragically funny, but it is funny. I remember hiding behind a car one day because my husband, who's my boyfriend at the time, had come over to my apartment to see me. And I just got bags of food in my hand. I'd been to the shops. I didn't want to see him. So I hid behind a car. And there I am, crouching behind a car in the middle of the night so I didn't have to see my boyfriend. And I said, comedy-wise, I must have been a right old sight for anybody seeing this person sort of crouching behind a car with three bags of food. You know, just crazy stuff, really crazy stuff, which I can laugh. And it does say in the book, you know, we are not a glum lot. We can laugh at ourselves because we found a way out. And I also used to, and again, it goes back to when I came in, I used to deflect a lot of stuff with humour. I used to minimise with humour. So sometimes a funny story is a good thing. And the other thing, just to, and then other times, obviously, if someone's really jittery, depressed, you know, feeling desperate, I can match that. Oh, my goodness, I can match that as well. You know, I've been there. And that real bonding and language of the heart is a wonderful thing. And you know what? It's a wonderful thing for me. Even if they don't get well, I get off that phone or come away from that meeting very much resolved in my recovery. And I remember having a conversation with a girl, bless her. She was a bulimic like me, and she was describing being in a queue at McDonald's waiting for the toilet to purge and wanting to push everybody out of the way so she could get there quicker because she was so desperate to get rid of this food. And I remember clearly coming off that phone and just, thank you, and just being so back in touch with my own step one. And, you know, this is the point, is this work keeps me well, and it keeps me face-to-face with my disease and provides me with immunity. So, yeah, great to be on the meeting, and I will pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Claire. Next up is Laura L., followed by Riff Scar.
Great. Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, everybody who shared. I'm Laura L. in Connecticut, compulsive overeater, bulimic addict. And just very grateful to be on the line today and to hear everybody shares. This is really more instructions for me. I've been sponsoring for quite a while, but I'm continually needing to learn and to be reminded of what the big book says and how other people do it. And I know that for me, I've learned to be where the person's at and sort of start there. And I think sharing stories is super important. The person I'm sponsoring now, she said that I recently shared about a relapse. And she says, oh, I didn't know that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you about that relapse. So, I mean, and it helped her to know, you know, certain circumstances around it. And I've had a few, so I don't always remember to recount everything. But, it just, you know, I think establishing some sort of rapport and being honest. I think the more honest I am, and I'm, you know, do that to the best of my ability every single day, with my sponsee will help her, him, them understand how rigorous honesty is going to help them. And I also try to lead with, you know, love and compassion, tolerance, and to be, and to be very hopeful. And I think hope is what kept me in program. I've been in program for 26 years now. Since 2001, whatever the math is, 24 years. And as other people have shared, I tend towards not being a very laughing type of person, and I'm trying to work on that in terms of bringing more lightness into my life. And so sometimes God brings me somebody who is a little bit different than me, and so compliments my sort of seriousness, which is a gift. So I think for me, just looking at each person as a gift, and not everybody, quote unquote, works out, but the outcomes aren't up to me, and all I can do is share my ESH and pray with them. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Laura. Next up is Riska R., followed by Rick J.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service and everybody on the line and all the shares. Riska R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. I love that it says humorous stories of your escapades. And yes, that's really funny. A few years ago, we were out of town, and my husband and I were staying with his family. We didn't know for a night. And the woman was quite overweight. The woman of the house was quite overweight. And again, not all people who are overweight are compulsive overeaters, but, you know, I was just interested to see if, you know, maybe she could identify with something. And I was looking for a little opening to be able to talk with her. And it ended up that, you know, in the evening, we were alone together, this woman and I, and we were chatting. So I brought the conversation around to my humorous thinking around food, like seeing the portions on a package of food. Like it says, you know, half a cup is a portion. And I'm thinking, you know, half a cup, like what's that? A baby eats half a cup, you know. And, you know, my portions were like, you know, the whole box or the whole bag. That was my portion, you know, and all the food that I couldn't stop eating. And I saw her eyes light up. There's like a, you know, and I saw her eyes light up. I knew she knew what I was talking about, you know, and how I was walking across the campus of the University of Pittsburgh one time during COVID, and the students were carrying their dinner back to their dorm rooms from the cafeteria because they couldn't eat there anymore, and they each had this like small little white box of food, and I'm thinking, what's that? Like, I would need 10 of those boxes at least, and she's nodding her head like crazy, and then I talked more about, you know, the incredible pain and failure, like all the hiding and the stuffing wrappers down in the garbage so no one will see, and, you know, the goodbye parties to food, like buying all the chocolate I could ever want to eat, and because I was convinced that I was going to eat it all and then never eat it again, you know, and because two-part malady of this disease, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, how, like, impossible, you know, just the hopelessness, utter hopelessness, you know, all the shots and the pills and the gazillion diets and, you know, and my crazy thinking. I was convinced if I just lost the weight this time, you know, I would keep it off, like, and then she began to open up and talk about her pain and struggles, and, you know, now I could nod my head, you know, and like crazy, and we ended up talking till 2 a.m. in the morning, and like, you know, she's a recovered woman today. And yeah, just, you know, just that's what I look for. Just do their eyes light up of that recognition, that identification of like, oh my God, you do that too. Things that I do that also I thought nobody else did. And there's hope and there's recovery and you have a smile on your face today and anymore. So anyway, I'm, this is just incredible, every paragraph of this book. And have a wonderful day, everybody, and pass.
All right, thanks, Rivka. Next up is Rick J., and I think he's going to be our last one. You know me and this math, I never could get it down right. So I'm sorry to Anne-Marie, Victoria, and Chris. You hang on for the next meeting. All right, Rick, you're up, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks for your service. And good morning, everybody. My name's Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And I'll keep this brief just so somebody else can get on. But yeah, this is an assessment. And I love, you know, the very first time I'm really connecting with someone, you know, it really is like gauging where someone else is at. And to do that, I have to be a good listener, which is one of those things I've had to really work on, you know, and that has been one of the most powerful spiritual tools I've developed is the, you know, to be a good listener, to just, you know, and it helps when I close my eyes when I'm listening to someone on the phone. If I'm, of course, face-to-face, I'm not doing that. But a lot of times it's just I'm listening to somebody on the phone and I close my eyes or I just listen. And, you know, and I'll actually have a little pad and I jot a few little notes here and there just so I can keep, you know, some of the things that I'm hearing. Because this is someone you might be working with and, you know, for a while. Sometimes it's the only call. I never know. But, yeah, it's like that relatability, and I love the, you know, the word rapport. That happens, though, after I've made myself relatable, and then a connection can be made. You know, it's all about that connection, and, if you know, just to see where they're at. You know, I'm assessing them, you know, and then sharing appropriately, you know, to be empathetic. And I've got, you know, stories on either side. Sorry, my voice doesn't work much anymore. I'm just so grateful to be here and that this is one of those gifts that we can help when no one else can. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Rick. Actually, we have about a minute and a half. If Anne-Marie, you want to jump on there.
This is Anne-Marie, and thank you so much, Russ. I am miraculously recovering from compulsive overeating, and I live in South Carolina. What's so important to me is, you know, before I speak, is just to pause and ask God to put the words in my mouth, because I need to. This can't come from me. If it comes from me, it's going to be all messed up. But but when it comes from God, I know that it's what the person needs to hear. And I appreciate this paragraph. I think of all the paragraphs in this chapter, I think this is, for me, the most helpful. It helps me to see that what I've heard is that I need to listen. Listen to what the other person has to say and to be open and to follow their lead and not be the leader. You know, being, you know, when I was recovered, I wanted to like be the leader and they were going to do as I say. And No. That this is telling me, let them lead the way. Let them show me how I can be helpful to them. And, you know, under my breath and in my mind, just saying, okay, God, what is it that you want me to say? My reliance on God has to be number one with working with somebody else. And I've learned not to start off by telling them everything that I want them to do. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. And that was actually really selfish of me because I didn't want to waste my time with somebody. Okay, thanks. I'll pass.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. You're going to be our last share today. Thank you to everybody that shared and did service. And now this meeting to go on. Please join us for a second unrecorded study of the Big Book immediately following closing. All right, today's share ID, Friday, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,358. That's 22358. And now we're going to close the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Well, GFSP, please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning, everyone. Judith S.P. here, and thank you, Russ, and everyone, for the powerful meeting we have every day. Thank you, God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. If your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.